Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Richard Rossi Live. This is going to be one of the most helpful, inspiring shows for you in terms of unblocking your creativity and following your passion. I've always believed if you go with the passion, that's from God to Master Creator, and our creativity is one of the proofs or the components that were created in God's divine image. And when we follow that creativity, it's just wonderful. It's not always easy, but it's wonderful. And we're so blessed today. We're going to have a very, very special guest, the founder of Arts Anonymous, Abigail B., in the 12-step programs, Last Names Are Not Used. So we're introducing and talking to her as Abigail B. ARTS, A-R-T-S, stands for Artists Recovering Through the 12 Steps. Abigail is the courageous artist, painter, who founded this program, and it's helped other artists, including myself, in our creativity, in our journey. So, join us today. We'll be back in about 20 seconds with Abigail. And this link, by the way, is good not only now, if you want to share it with some friends to tune in, but it's also good in perpetuity to hear the replay if you want to replay the program or share it with a friend. So I'll be right back in a few seconds with Abigail, the founder of Arts Anonymous. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live. And by the way, the website for Arts Anonymous is artsanonymous.org. And if you want to email a question during the broadcast, our email for the show is richardrossilive@gmail.com. Also, we have a phone number that you can call in. Here's the phone number for the show, 6347 area code. That's a New York area code, 637-2379. And you can also text a question as we get in our discussion here now. You can text a question to the show as well. The text line for the show is 818-850-5915. Well, welcome, Abigail. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for asking me. I'm kind of excited to do it. Scared.
Oh, well, fear is a good sign. Jack Lemmon spoke to an acting class I was in years ago, and he said, whenever I'm afraid, it's a sign something really good I got to do, a part I got to do if it scares me a little bit. Well, you broke through the fear and started this wonderful program. Could you tell us the kind of before picture? What was your life like before starting Arts Anonymous? What led you as an artist to start this program? What was it like before?
Well, let's see. I have to give you a short answer, not a biography. And I'm going to do it along the lines which are somewhat universal for all arts members. I was very creative when I was born. I did all kinds of things. I was always the, for lack of a better word, the entrepreneur. I led all the games. I created all the games. You know, that was my childhood. And at the same time, I was a very good artist in the sense that I could draw things. And I remember in grade school, I was drawing, and it was always original. And the guy next to me was always drawing trucks. And because he was drawing trucks, he got more recognition than I did. Anyway, my parents gave me art lessons on Saturday, and I was we moved around a bit. My father's a college professor, and in high school, we came to a new high school, and it was a little rocky for me joining in at my teenage years, and I earned the Best Artist Award, but they gave it to somebody who was going to art school, and my parents insisted that I was going to go to college for 2 years, and then I could transfer to an art school, and it was a bad deal for me. And it took me 6 weeks in college to look around and say, I don't belong here. this is not for me. I'm not going to be successful. I hate it. It's just wrong. And so I walked out. And I ended up in Chicago. I live in New York. My family at that time was in Philadelphia. And I was afraid to come back to New York City because I thought they'd come up and get me. So I stayed in Chicago and discovered that I was untrained. And so I took all these little part-time jobs. And I had always been pretty. And I thought, well, I'll just go model. And so I went down to the Illinois Employment Agency and said, I'm an unemployed model. I was 18. And they said, well, where have you worked? And I said, oh, I haven't yet. Anyway, they sent me to an agency, and then I was successful in Chicago, came to New York. I was very successful in New York, but all the time I wanted to go to art school. And I made enough money to put myself there. I didn't have permission because they didn't give it to me. You know, you can't be an artist. You got to go to college, all this sort of stuff. And I couldn't do it. I did take a class. You know, I drew on my own, but I couldn't put myself into art school. But what I did do is I started a publication for models. I was always creating things. This is me. I create things. You never put me anywhere that I don't create something. And so I made this publication for models. And I was a kid. I was 23. I didn't know what a corporation was. I'd never hired anybody. It was a great idea. I couldn't pull it off, and I was devastated. But from there, I went into publishing. And the other thing, backtracking, because this is in the family structure of arts members. There is someone, might be rage, it might be incest, it might be alcoholism, it might be drugs, it might be bipolar, it might be abandonment or rejection, whatever that milieu is growing up, we got the message that the world was not safe and that people were not safe and that people might be cruel and you couldn't trust this. And it ended up where you don't put your head up. You don't be a target. If you got a great gift, that's wonderful, but you better be invisible. So this is sort of the idea, and, you know, people can take lessons, they can get a gig over here as an actor, they can, you know, there's a lot of things you can do, but staying there, that's a problem. So anyway, back 15 years, I'm 15 years old, and my bipolar showed up. So I wasn't diagnosed until I was 60. But I had therapists, lots of therapists, and that is also true across the program of arts members, is that there is this chemistry. And I found out that this is the chemistry for all the great artists. It is amazing, but they all have it, you know. Hemingway,
yeah,
Lord
Byron.
There's a book
that my therapist gave me, Abigail, called... I think it's called Touched by Fire. And
that's my Bible.
Yeah, isn't that a great book? And it goes through, I like in that book how, you know, it shows all these artists and it has a little chart in the back and it checks off bipolar, suicide, alcohol, you know, going through Van Gogh and Virginia Woolf and the different people.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really interesting you would say that because we have bipolar in my family as well. And as well as the creativity. And the manic side is great for the creativity, but when you crash down with the depressed side, that's really tough, isn't it?
Oh, my God. You know, mine was suicide. And, boy, I had a rough time with that. I really, really, really did. And anyway, fortunately, I never tried it, but it was, you know, in all my thoughts all the way time up until I was 60. Anyway, that kicked in at 15. So I was dragging a lot of baggage, no permission to be an artist. I was self-medicating, medicating through lots of relationships. And I got to be, I got over to one of the major publishing companies and I wanted to be an artist and I wasn't happy. And my boss said, well, what's stopping you? And I said, my parents. And he said, how old are you going to be when you don't listen to them? And where are they going to be? And I thought, oh, my God, they're going to be in the ground, you know, and I won't have lived my life. So I jumped out of the corporate world, went sailing into the art world, no degrees, nothing like this. I was able to make some very impressive things, but I was crashing. I didn't have money. The boyfriend didn't work out, you know, and my bipolar was like, ugh, it was awful. And I went to Texas to where my family was living at that time, and I started looking for God. And I didn't know where to find him, but God found me, and I got a job in a little art museum, and an artist came down from New York City. And I thought, no, 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 she's not going to know I'm here. I was running a little gallery in Soho. She is not going to know I'm here. No, 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 no. She walks over and she says, I need an audience for my video this afternoon. Give me a project. That's it. I'm on the project. So I got her an audience and we became the best of friends. And one day she was in New York. I was in Texas. I said to her on the phone, you know, I have to tell you, I'm on medication. I'm having a little breakdown. And she said, oh, thank God. She said,
wow.
I've been wondering how I was going to tell you about AA. And I said, what's AA? She said, well, it's Alcoholics Anonymous. It's people who are alcoholic. And this is step 1, 2, 3. And when she read through those steps, I had no idea what they meant. But I knew. I had found God.
Mm.
Or
so did,
he found
so you
me.
Started your first exposure to the 12 steps was in the AA program then?
No, that was just her program. So
oh,
then we had to find me a program. And I didn't fit Al-Anon, and I didn't fit OA, and I didn't fit this, and I didn't fit that. And I was carrying about $3,000 worth of debt, and I needed to get into those programs. That was life and death. So I came in through DA, and I really couldn't say I belonged there, but I met all the artists. It was like a magnet, you know. It's like we all found each other, and I was 6 months in DA when my friend Joel said, do you want to go out painting on the weekend? So we started painting, and then two other joined us, and then we were 7, and then we were 12. And by the end of the summer, we were 18 people in mostly
wow.
DA and Al-Anon who were going out painting on the weekend. And then it got cold. And, like, I couldn't paint without other people. I didn't have permission. And so I said, okay, I'm inviting all these artists to my home. We're going to have a meeting for artists only. And I think I invited 14, 8 came, and two things happened. The person who qualified said, I never heard who I was before today. And he's a long-term program. Never heard who he really was. And then Barbara McConnell said, I'm powerless over my creativity. It was like fireworks. It was like, I don't believe this. It was like my whole life came together and just exploded in terms of possibilities. I had no idea what it meant to be powerless
now,
over your creativity.
Now, for those that aren't familiar with the 12 steps, this is step 1 as originally
yeah.
in AA, I'm powerless over
yeah.
alcohol or my compulsion to drink. And when
yeah.
I first, and I know we're supposed to be quote-unquote anonymous at press and radio and film and all that, but I will say I participate in Arts Anonymous and love it. That when I first came, I was wondering, how's step 1 going to work? Because I'd been in a bunch
yeah.
of other programs. What are we powerless over? And then when they first said, I'm powerless over my creativity, I was like, wow. Could you explain, what do you mean by I am powerless over my creativity?
Well, this is an exciting thing about arts, because all the other 12-step programs are talking about an addiction or a compulsion, and we're told, don't pick it up. You're sober as long as you don't pick it up. And being powerless over your creativity is the best thing that ever happened. It's you were born with it. You were gifted with it. It comes with a destiny, a spiritual destiny, if everything goes well. It's the best. I mean, there's no greater happiness than being in your creative process. Time disappears. You're creating with your higher power, with this partnership that is full of inspiration. I mean, being powerless over your creativity is great. The problem is on the other half of step one, which is that life is unmanageable. So our lives were unmanageable. We weren't able to work, but we were composing. We had been composing. We hadn't composed in 5 years. You know, we wanted to write. We couldn't write. I mean, it was the total block. You know, we were, you know, like in AA, they call them the bottom line drunk when AA started. We were the bottom line blocked artists. And yet there was this hope that if these 12 steps worked for millions of people all over the world in many different directions and addictions, it was going to work for us. And we just hung on. We didn't have a clue. We didn't have any literature. We didn't know where we were going. It was just an act of faith. And we came to meetings and we talked and pearls of wisdom fell out of people's mouths, and I started writing them all down. You know, I couldn't believe what we were saying. The truths were just dropping out on the floor. And then came the day that I wanted to get AA to give us permission to use those 12 steps. And they said, well, tell us why you want them. And I took all those pearls and made a little paragraph or two, and then AA gave us permission to use the 12 steps, and that was our first piece of literature. And then here's another interesting thing. It mushroomed. There was a meeting, within 6 weeks, there was a meeting in Boston. Then I came out to LA in the spring of 85, and there was a meeting that started in LA. And so there was L.A., Boston, and New York. And the three of us, without talking to each other, the word avoidant. Boston came in with anorexia of avoidance. L.A. came in with facing avoidance. And New York City created 12 traits about avoidance and what it looks like. And we didn't even talk to each other. And we had a rough time in the beginning. We had many rough years. And about 15 years after ARTS started, I thought, this is a pattern. We are destroying this program, and the names are changing, but we're doing the same thing. It's like we can't handle being visible. And so I thought, well, maybe the medical profession knows about us. And I picked up a book from Harvard, you know, Psychiatry for the Layperson, flipped it open, and there we were under personality disorders. And it was about, oh, maybe 30 pages, that chapter. And about two-thirds through, there was a thing called avoidant. And it fit us to a T. It's like a phobic thing that we have. We have this fear. And if we're going to be visible, no, no, do the art. But no, we're not getting out into the market. You know, it's just, it's avoidant. And this little description said, it's a trait disorder, therefore it can be fixed. And it said, we get fixed best if we're in a group together.
Hmm. Now, like, you mentioned of the fear of being visible. My grandpa used to say the nail that's sticking up the highest gets hammered down. And is that part of it, the fear that if I... Actually, we have a question coming in that kind of fits this. Came in from Alan in Myrtle Beach, and he said that he's been avoidant for a while because while suffering cancer, he made a very low-budget film. Those that understood how difficult it was to make a low-budget film thought he did a great job, but friends that saw it said, when are you going to make a real movie with a real budget? This isn't a real movie. And he said it hurt him so bad he hasn't made another film. What would you say to someone like Alan that people are saying your work's not real because it was made cheap?
Yeah. And they'll say, oh, you say, okay, I'm an artist and I paint, I do watercolors. Well, have you exhibited yet? It's like you're not valid unless you've exhibited. you know, have you sold anything yet? That's another one. These are, you know, they don't mean harm, but they are so invalidating that when you're just coming into your creativity, like he made a film when he was, you know, dealing with cancer. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And
with
you know
no
what?
Money.
The process. Yeah, with no money. But the outside world, they don't mean to be mean, but that kind of commentary could shut somebody down because there's no group around to support you and say, oh my God, that's fantastic. This is what you get in arts. You get permission, you get thrill, but you say what I'm doing and everybody says, oh my God, I didn't hear that before. Would you read it again? You know, somebody comes in, they don't want to sing. The first time they sing, it's off key. And you say, oh my goodness, they're headed out to gig and all that sort of stuff. They get it together. Arts Anonymous, the meetings are safe. You know, if this guy in Myrtle Beach can get to Culver City, there's a meeting on Sunday, and you'll get the kind of comfort and compassion and support and vision like to take the next step. And so there was a thought I had just a second ago that I wanted
well,
to put
just take a
in.
Second, and I'll let them know that they can go to the website
okay.
to learn more at artsanonymous.org. And there's also, by the way, I found a wonderful Facebook group. I know a lot of you use Facebook. You probably just search Arts Anonymous. Or I think it's facebook.com/arts-anonymous, and you'll get there. And another question related to this avoidance thing, Lisa Sterling, Seattle, says, like the prior question, I'm making a film with very little money. I raised very little on Indiegogo, but have the equipment to shoot and some volunteers. My boyfriend has a band, does not have money to record at a studio, but is trying to record with his laptop and a Pro Tools program. What kind of self-talk can we do when we are invalidated that, why are you doing that? You don't have the money to do that. Making art with limited money. What would you say to someone that we're in a culture where they keep score with money, like you said? Have you exhibited? Have you sold anything? Are you making money? What's your budget for your movie? What's your budget for your album? And here's courageous artists is doing it on a shoestring. What can they kind of say to themselves to, you know, keep going when they feel discouraged by their financial stress and they're stressed and depressed over the money part?
Well, there's no magic wand, but the gifts are given to us with a destiny and they have a plan. It may not be our plan, but there is a plan to it. And the main thing is to just keep going. Sometimes it means changing your friends, you know. I hear that a lot in Arts Anonymous where people just say, okay, I can't stand that person anymore. He's so invalidating, you know. They don't mean harm, but this kind of commentary is invalidating.
Yeah.
If he's in Seattle, there are some good phone meetings. And there's some very good phone meetings. And there's one on Thursday night here in New York City, which has both face-to-face and you can call in. So that particular meeting has got call-in from upstate New York, from Indiana, and Texas. Yeah.
I want to tell you, Abigail, I love the phone meetings, and I think they're great for an artistic personality. I know some would say, I want to be face-to-face and see the people, and that's, of course, great. But for me, a lot of times as artists, we work on our own time, out of our home, and, you know, keep our own hours, and to be able to just pop on the phone without hopping in the car and hear some other folks. So just go to artsanonymous.org, those of you listening, and you you know, click phone meetings. There's on the right side of the website, you can choose the kind of meeting, the location, the type of meeting. But if you even Google Arts Anonymous phone meetings, and you know, here in California, it's around dinner time. There's several meetings. They tend to be around 6 p.m. because I think they're East Coast, maybe 9 p.m., And they're great, aren't they? I love them.
And we have a Skype meeting that's trying to open up from Australia, Melbourne. And in California, that is about 3 to 4 in the afternoon on Friday. So that's a Skype thing. If you want, if you have it and you want a face-to-face through there, that's a new meeting that's coming through. So what else
can I
tell you about?
We have a couple questions related to bipolar, and thanks for your courage in admitting that. And many of us struggle with these kind of things as artists.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first part of the question, I can answer pretty simply. They asked what was the book we were talking about, and it's Touched with Fire, Manic Depressive Illness and the Artistic Temperament by Kay Redfield Jameson. I was told about this book by a therapist in my hometown that I saw, Glenda Moser, who's since passed away, and I was going through a very, very tough time, and she recommended the book to me, and it was really life-changing for me. But the second part of this question from somebody anonymous says, I'm a bipolar artist. The nature of my bipolar illness prevents me from working a regular job because I have depressive days throughout the month, a number of depressed days where I can't get out of bed, and therefore jobs don't want me because I have no-show issues, and they want you to show up every day. I do have at least over 50% of the month am able to do artistic work. What would you suggest in terms of just raw survival when it's hard to work a conventional job?
Well, the first thing I would say is about medication. You know, I don't know what his story is or anything like that, and I don't know who your therapists are, but getting on the right medication to be able to stay out of bed is foundation. It's bedrock. And for myself, if I find that I won't get out of bed, you know, eventually the bell is going to go off and say, oh, I either haven't taken my meds or I need a little more. But I do not allow myself to stay in bed because life passes us by. So if it is a situation of medication, keep trying. You know, I'm sure that there are some bipolars and some extreme cases where this is just such a tough road to walk, you know. And for those, my heart goes out to you, really. It's a hard road. And what I would then recommend also is check into arts, because there's a lot of us, and if we aren't struggling with a mood disorder, somebody in the family is, you know, so we grew up with that type of profile around us. The only good news about it is we are really talented, we are really creative, we think out of the box, we're not interested in the box. You know, when we're in our art form, we are in bliss. So, you know, that's, I don't know if I've said the right thing.
Oh, you sure did.
But,
and it's such a wonderful gift. We look at all the, in the book Touch with Fire, if you think about all the wonderful books and art that these folks in that book have given the world. And, yeah, and also I've
it's
learned
like who's
that,
who? Didn't you think it was like a who's who was ever an artist? I mean, it's a who's who. It's an amazing list.
It really is an amazing list. It just blows me away. you know, I've been helped by some of the cognitive therapy. My dad was bipolar 1. There's two types, my therapist told me. So he, with the bipolar 1, had to be on very, very heavy meds, lithium, Thorazine, and different things like that. He was a talented guitarist, jazz guitarist. My therapists think I'm more of a bipolar 2 in that I can overcome a lot by cognitive therapy of challenging the irrational thoughts. And we gave an example, like someone makes an invalidating remark, you're not a real artist, you haven't exhibited, or you're not making a real movie because you don't have enough money. That's an invalidating thought, but cognitive therapy says, okay, let's confront that thought, you know, and let's think in a healthier way. That, you know what, yeah, I prefer to have $1 million to make my movie. Yeah, I prefer to be exhibited in the top museum right now. But you know what, I'm going to give myself some credit and endorse myself for the efforts I've made. And just that way of challenging those thoughts can be a big part of it, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was just reading a quote from Steve Jobs this morning. Let's see if I can find it. Anyway, he basically said, you know, if you can't find what you love to do, then keep looking.
That's great.
And, you know, we're coming in on our book, our first book.
Is that
and,
right? Will it be
kind
of like the big book in AA? Is it, will it have stories of people?
Well, I don't know how fabulous it's going to be, edition one, but we need to get it out. Arts is very small, and we need to get the word out that we exist, you know. So, but anyway, my goal is to get Kay Redfield Jameson to write a chapter.
Oh, isn't that something?
You know,
I brought up her book, and I didn't know you were thinking of that.
Oh, this book and I mean, I can't wait to meet her. I cannot wait to meet her. I think about her all the time, you know. She's
we'll have
like,
to invite her on the show. Because she's also bipolar. She's, you know,
yes,
not only
has
she done this great work on bipolar artists, but she had the courage to admit she struggled with her own bipolar issues.
Yeah, she did, you know. And that's where her first book came out. It was The Unquiet Mind. And then from there, and that talked about her bipolar thing, she's a renowned researcher, knows all kinds of things which have her name on it out there in the medical world. But then came this, and then from there, for the last, I don't know how long, but she's been a teacher over at Johns Hopkins. And, you know, so she's, and the list of speeches, you can find them on YouTube, is as long as your arm. I mean, she's really, she's well known and greatly respected, and she will be thrilled to hear about arts, and I can't wait to tell her. But I didn't want to reach out to her until I have the book. You know, it's sort of silly to say, well, one day will you put this chapter in our book, you know, but we're getting there. Maybe by the spring I can have that book out there in the market.
I want to ask you about something that I found to be fantastic, and I wonder how it came to be, how you came up with it. And it's the whole concept of Five Alive, which sometimes as artists we avoid doing our work because we think, well, I have to do some huge thing and some huge amount of time, and so we don't do a damn thing. Whereas Five Alive says, just to work 5 minutes a day on it. And it always tricks me because I'm like a little kid inside. I bribe myself. It's like telling a little kid, just do your chores for 5 minutes. And the next thing you know, I'm enjoying writing or doing my work. And the next thing you know, an hour has gone by. But how did Five Alive come about? And could you talk about that concept?
Well, there was a person in arts, Harvey O., who decided he was going to do his art every day, and he did his feet a lot. He had this little tiny sketchbook, and there were pages and pages of his feet. And anyway, so we thought that was pretty cool. And so then I tried it out with an artist, Carol A., and we ended up being Five Alive buddies for 12 years. And when I first started doing the Five Alive, you know, I started doing stick figures off the TV. That's pretty low. And I had to do it every day. So 5 minutes after 12 midnight, I did my Five Alive for the day before. But from that, I taught myself how to do watercolors. And she ended up writing little essays and things like that. And we were art buddies forever. And so I brought it in. I just brought it into the program. And I said, I did this a lot, you know. Well, this is a tool, and nobody questioned me. So it became a tool, you know. But the trick is, it's a really good trick, is if you do 5 minutes, you may end up doing 20. You may end up doing the whole afternoon. I was going to do this. Well, I was going to do that. They get shoved aside. They just get shoved aside because the joy of creating, we lose track of time. We don't care about the chores that have to be done. We're passionate about what we're doing, and that's life. That's the best of life. And also, I want to say that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, if you can't do it on your own, get another arts member to do it so that you report in after you've done it.
Kind of like a bookend, huh?
Yeah, a bookend.
The money part, I've heard it say, go with what you love and the money will follow.
Absolutely.
That's kind of a nice thing, too, because, you know, it might not be immediate, but it's really a nice feeling when we do start to get some money from it. And you mentioned the DEA program. That involves, and my wife and I do that, that involves tracking what comes in and what comes out, not deading. What suggestions would you have for artists? Just a lot of times artists are the whole thing of the starving artist. You know, I'm a SAG member, Screen Actors Guild, and on any given day, only 10% of the SAG members are working, not to talk about discouraging odds. But what suggestions do you have for the money part for those that are dealing with money issues as artists?
The first thing I think I want to say is that nobody in arts is starved. You know, the saying, starving artist. Nobody
yeah.
is starved. It's usually you have to put together your own platform because we don't really fit the corporate world. We're not appropriate for a square. And so I've watched the arts members over the years. They cobble something together. The best, of course, is to work part-time. We don't put the emphasis on money because DA does and under earner does. We put the emphasis on if you do the work, success will come to you. You know, it comes in. It's not something you can go out and grab and say, you know, okay, I'm going to create this for the market. Just create for your heart. Do what you love and the money will follow. You know, create for the joy of it. And then, you know, if you build up, you know, enough of that, the market will come into you. And I've seen it. I've seen it. One of my sponsees 5 years ago desperately wanted to be a portrait artist, had gone that route, educated in New York, lived in New York, and then life took her and her family outside of New York. Furious for 20 years that she had been removed from her art world and came into arts. And I said, where are the oil paints? Well, they were in the garage underneath mouse droppings. And her studio was unheated, so she had to dress like for the Arctic in the wintertime to go in there. And so the steps came through, and we don't have enough sponsors. I just have to say that. But the steps came through and did their magic, and she taught herself how to do portraits. She's done community heroes. It was her idea. The portraits are large, you know, and she goes out and she finds out who's doing what in service for the greater community, and then she does a portrait of them. She's had a couple of exhibitions. She's on her way. She's carving the credentials to be in this market, and the commissions will come in. And a few have already started to come in. And so we do it. I mean, we do it. It seems like, oh, my God, I didn't go to art school, so this is never going to happen. It will happen. Just do the work. Just do the work and follow the inspiration.
Yeah. You mentioned the part-time suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great suggestion because a lot of artists, I hear that the full-time kind of soul-killing, draining job, a lot of times
mm-hmm.
they're so tired, and then they get home
mm-hmm.
and they've been, you know, been in a job where they're micromanaged in a cube farm in a little cubicle, and they get home
mm-hmm.
and they're so tired, and then they're like, Richard, I'm just so tired. I just don't feel like painting or writing. So the part-time, you know,
mm-hmm.
is a happy medium, isn't it? Because they're making
mm-hmm.
some money, but it's not like they're a total wreck from a job. They still have some emotion and some time and some ability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you don't need a lot of money to live. You don't. That's like another one of those things that, you know, gets us all tangled up. Oh, I have to have a decent amount of money. You have to have food. You have to have rent. You have to have transportation. You have to have insurance. You have to have clothes. You know, you don't have to have new clothes all the time. You do need your equipment for your being an artist. There's nothing wrong if you're a roommate. There's nothing wrong, let me say this, there's nothing wrong if you're on food stamps. You know, the main thing is carve a life that has validity to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't live somebody else's life. It's too short.
Yes. And you mentioned the DA, and they talk about not deading in that particular program. And I find mm-hmm. Some of the artists that are complaining on the money thing, that when I really look at their situation and we sit down at Starbucks for coffee or whatever, and I find they got, you know, expensive cable TV, which they don't need. They could get a digital antenna. They have, you know, several of the most expensive cell phones, you know, and they, you know, have to insist on you know, getting their clothes at Macy's instead of Target. And, you know, and they have all these various things where they're spending more than they make. And so then they're stressed to work a job that's killing their soul. And like you say, what's the shame in simplifying their life so they can do the art?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the problem is society doesn't support us doing that. And that's one reason why having a 12-step program is a great comfort, you know, because we do validate that lifestyle. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, if you're
carrying... This is the founder of Arts Anonymous, Abigail B. Go to the website artsanonymous.org. Now, may I ask you about your own paintings, your own work, and, you know, I hope that's okay to ask about, because we'd love to know about anything, any of your art, and how we can, you know, support you or see your work.
Well, you know, all arts members are multi-talented. So the one that I came in with was that I wanted to be able to paint and be a visual artist, okay? And I was self-taught through the program, and I did one day go out with my artwork to the corporate world and to see if they liked it, and I immediately sold 8 things, which is amazing. And
wonderful.
Yeah, but I didn't continue with it because my true passion is this program. That's my passion. That's the entrepreneur in me. I learned to write. Carol, my art buddy years ago, said to me, "Do you realize that your first sentence you always make at the end of the paragraph?" So, you know, the program and the fellowship taught me how to write. I love writing. I think about arts all the time, all the time, all the time. This is my passion, is this program. And if God, you know, wants, God, I know God wants arts because he never lets us die. But we are a very tiny program. And if we could ever get visible, I think we'd be a bigger program overnight. But that's it. My main thing is the program, you know, particularly these 12 steps, because ours are a little bit different than the other 12-step programs, because I didn't have experience in these other programs. So I wrote
this program is a
wonderful
work of art. Arts Anonymous is a work of art and a tapestry of many people. And those of you listening, since they're letting us know we're out of time, this link is good in perpetuity to listen to the replay. So share this link to let people know about arts. And we have a minute left, Abigail. Why don't you close out whatever you want to say? It could be your final words to the artists listening, or it could be something to let them know how to contact Arts Anonymous.
Okay. It's something I would like to read, and if God is with me, I'll be able to find it in 1 second, and I think he is. Okay, I want to read. Oh, I hope it's here. I want to read the art's closing prayer.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to be able to find it. I should have had it out. Maybe it's in here. Come on, give me the closing prayer. Nope.
I will look too.
Yeah.
I may have it.
Oh, yeah? Oh, it's such a beautiful thing.
I just think I found it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, then you read it.
Yes. Is this the one here? How? No matter how distance we feel from our creative sources?
Yes. Read
okay.
That one.
Well, they just told me we have 60 seconds, so I'll read it, and then we'll say goodbye. Art's Closing Prayer, and this is beautiful, by the way. Just Google Arts Anonymous Closing Prayer. It's a PDF and you'll find it. Here it is. In closing, I would like to say that no matter how distant we feel from our creative sources, no matter how long it has been since we were in touch with our creative spirit, or how feeble may seem our creative impulses, They are reawakened in our higher powers time through this program and through our actions, no matter how small or how simple, a day at a time. I may not be able to see my own growth or even to see my creations as beautiful, but I'm able to see yours as inspiring and enriching my emotional, spiritual, and physical world. We are not recovering to hide our light under a bushel. Our creative gifts are a gift. To celebrate them, we humbly apply ourselves sometimes to the work of art and sometimes to play. May Arts Anonymous teach us that our art celebrated will benefit and feed our own souls first and the world second. For the world hungers as much for this beauty as for food. We meet here together to feed this deeper hunger. Amen. That's beautiful.
Isn't it? Yeah, that's beautiful. Okay.
Whenever I've been in a meeting and they say this prayer, the part that really hits me is the world hungers as much for this beauty as for food. I love
Absolutely.
That.
I love it too. I love it too. And it's so true. It's
and I also
so
love
true.
How it says it feeds our own soul first in the world
first.
Second, because, you know, I can tell you that, like, I made a couple feature films, and they really fed my own soul so much. My first feature film was about a healing evangelist, Amy Simple McPherson, and I worked in my young adult years as a healing evangelist with, you know, big meetings and things like that, and it took such a toll on me emotionally and mentally to be up on that pedestal. And so I worked out what that experience was like for me, good and bad, through making this movie. It really fed my own soul first, and then others
That's
liked
nice.
The film and told me it fed them. But it really was for me first.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our own souls first. And the world hungers as much for this beauty as for food.
Wow.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm eternally grateful you came on this program today.
Thank you.
We're
Thank
out of
you.
Time. They're giving me the grace to go a minute over, but what a blessing.
Okay.
Thank you, Abigail, for
You're welcome.
For
Thank
creating
you.
This beautiful program.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's a real blessing to my life today, too. A thrill.
Oh.
Okay.
God bless
Thank
you,
you
Abigail.
Okay.
And keep up the
bye-bye.
Five alive, and I will, too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you, all of you, for listening to Richard Rossi Live. Continue to go with God and be blessed, and continue to follow your own creativity. Go with the passion. Go with the passion. Go with the passion. Blessings to you, and have a great rest of your day, everybody. Thank you for tuning in.